Blog Talk Radio.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Least in Arizona this morning with the new immigration bill that the governor just signed. And that is one of the topics of today's show. In addition to, it's actually sunshiny out here in Eugene. How's it in Cottage Grove, Cliff?
It was sunshining earlier, and I think we sent it up to you for a while to enjoy, but it's a little cloudy here at the moment, but it'll be back. You don't get to keep it all day.
I'll be selfish. Anyway, it's going to be a pretty good show today, I think. If you'd like to chime in and join us on the conversation and give the phone numbers and contact out early, you can dial 646-721-9887 to join us in the conversation. We do have the chat room open, www.blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, and you can send us an email at talk@krbnradio.com, and we do respond to those emails, and thank you very much for the emails that you have sent us.
It's getting interesting. We've been here long enough now, we're getting junk mail.
Hey, yay for junk mail.
Yeah, really. We've been invited to become a distributor for a cosmetics company out of Turkey. Isn't that exciting?
Are they trying to tell us something?
I'm not sure exactly what it would be, but I don't know. You know, it might be interesting. I've been to Turkey, as a matter of fact, and unless what I saw was totally different than what they're selling us, we don't want to sell Turkish makeup. Well, of course, I guess the people that I saw weren't wearing any, so maybe that's the thing.
Or maybe it's makeup. Never mind. In there.
Let's be nice.
I'm going to be kind of remember, we are live on the radio, even though it is over the internet. And what you say, Kenan, will be used
against you.
Very soon in the future. So,
really, lots of things going on. A couple of things just in the news in general. Here's one I bet you didn't know about. A young girl of 12-year-old girl, in a case that could spur the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia to say minimum age limits for marriage. Actually, she was married at 11 years old to an 80-year-old man.
What?
But she's getting a divorce. She's getting a divorce. She's 12 now, and she's getting a divorce. Actually, what happened is, maybe this is why they did this, because she's getting a $22,000 dowry, which may be money in over there. I don't know what their economy is. Saudi Arabia's got a real high economy, I think. But anyway.
I could just hear the marriage bells. Do you, sir, take her to be your lawfully wedded wife?
Yes, sir.
And do you, ma'am?
Yes.
I don't even know if she was given a choice. She was forced to marry her father's cousin last year.
Her father's cousin, which would make them her father's brother's sisters.
It's far enough away, I don't think it makes much difference.
Okay.
on that standard, but anyway. But basically, she's 12 now, and she's decided she doesn't want to be married to him, and so she's figured out a way to get rid of the marriage. But they're settling it out of court, I guess is what it would be called, but for $22,000, a dowry of $22,000, and she gets to be not married.
Heck, all she has to do is wait a couple of years.
For?
Well, the guy's 80.
Oh. Well, hey, you never know, especially, I mean, you know, nowadays people could live to be 120 years old. I mean, people are living longer. If I was her, I'd be one out as quick as possible. Anyway, I just thought that was an interesting little tidbit in the news that I just happened to go by. I was looking for more information about the volcano and the airlines, and I find it really disturbing that, and I understand it's bad that the airlines can't fly, and of course it has shut down a lot of people. I mean, what was it? I was watching a couple things on television the other day, and they couldn't be there because they couldn't get home. In fact, it was American Idol. They had a guest who was singing, and I don't remember who she was, but anyway, she couldn't get home because she was stuck in Europe on an airport and couldn't leave. But so it's made a huge big of problem. But now the airlines want the government to pay them for the money that they've lost. I mean, this is getting a little bit ridiculous. We're bailing out everyone for everything, and I'm a little disturbed at that. I don't think that should be the way this works. So we've got natural disasters. Airlines have got to be prepared. We've got too many people flying.
Is it our government that they want us to bail out?
Every government. The British airlines want the Great Britain to bail them out, and our airlines want us to bail them out. Our airlines can fly, but they can't go to Europe, so which means most of the flights have been canceled. So, you know, and we're talking thousands of flights, and we're talking millions and maybe even $1 billion. But, you know, the government doesn't bail everybody out for everything. There's got to be a limit on this, and we got to stop. That's just all there is to it. And if we bail out everybody for any old thing that happens, then you may as well just consider us all bankrupt. That's all there is to it.
Well, we're working towards that anyways.
Well, that's true. That's true. We are. Anyway, that was one of the things in the news that I've been looking at and getting all upset about is the fact that even in the United States, our business of bailing out the financial institutions continues on and on and on. Now they're talking about putting together a $50 billion fund. So that if any of our financial institutions have problems again, well, by doing that, you're just telling them they can do any damn thing they want to and don't have to worry about it. They don't have to, again, this responsibility thing. Nobody has to be responsible for anything anymore. So,
well, I was listening to some of the talk shows regarding that new legislation that Obama's working on. Again, thousands of pages long. And maybe we'll do the show next week regarding it, but one caller called in and said they've actually read the bill or the proposed bill, and it gives the government the right to even come into your home and make sure that your house is green. In other words, you've got fluorescent lighting and other fun stuff. But again, I want to confirm that and look at the bill myself and like say, hey, unless something else happens, we can maybe make that next week's show. But I've got, unless you got a couple more items, I got a few items. Okay. Assuming Cliff is still here with me. And apparently we lost Cliff again. I'm laughing because last week in Cliff's area of Cottage Grove, the city has a wireless system. And unfortunately, if the system hiccups, then it drops your IP address, which Skype, unfortunately, does not like. But if you can bear with me for just a moment here, I'm going to see if I can get Cliff back online here. And again, my apologies. Again, but this is, welcome to live radio, folks.
Okay.
Anyways, I got a couple. You're back.
I'm back. Yep.
I got a couple of news items here real quick, unless you have anything else.
Oh, well, there's lots of things, but go ahead.
Okay. One is on last week's show, we were talking about the Tea Party and how there were infiltrators to the Tea Party to try and discredit it. And a Beaverton teacher, Jason Levin, put together the CrashTheTeaParty.org trying to rally people to disrupt the Tea Party and, of course, make them look bad and everything. Anyways, he put together his website, and he was doing it on school property and on school time. So I just wanted to do a quick follow-up on that. This is from the April 15th Oregonian. Basically, the teacher has been placed on paid administrative leave while Beaverton school officials investigate whether he inappropriately used school equipment or time to work on his website. The district received hundreds of emails and calls over the past 2 days, with some demanding that the teacher be terminated.
Well, I don't, you know, there is no precedence for this, in my opinion. And so I'm not really think he needs to be terminated at this point. I think make a ruling or something, and then if he does it again or anybody else does it, there is a precedence.
Right. Well, just the fact that, the fact he has the right to go ahead and put whatever website he wants out there on his own time.
Right.
And that I think, is what they're saying. Kind of leading up towards the show, there's a, let's see, I'm skipping through. This is from KATU. I don't have a date on it, darn it. Voters in Marion and Polk counties could decide in November whether their county governments should police the hiring of illegal immigrants. The initiative would require employers with 5 or more employees to use E-Verify, which is the system the federal government has set up so you can compare the names to Social Security numbers, which is a free service. That would help.
It's already required.
Not E-Verify. Filling out the I-9 form to verify you have the right to work in the United States is required, but in most cases, unless they've changed anything, it doesn't have to be reported. You just have to keep it on file in case somebody wants to inspect it. But anyways, Marion and Polk counties are going to put to the voters where it should be required that they use E-Verify, not just an option. And if an employer is found to not have used E-Verify, the enforcement officer would issue a fine.
Okay, I find that wrong. You know, if you're going to impose a government a mandate that you do something like that, then the government needs to, okay, we've already got in place that you need to fill out the paperwork. Then, all right, let's require to send the paperwork to someplace in the government, who knows, and then they can worry about it. But this business of making everybody do your job is ridiculous. I mean, that's exactly what's happening. They're making up the laws as they go along, and it might cost them money, so we'll make somebody else pay for it and make somebody else do it. And so they hit the poor little individual businessman instead, and that's just ridiculous. If you're going to do this thing, then let's do it right, and let's make it work. But this crap of, you know, and you don't know this. You, even if you did this E-Verify thing, you know, how difficult is that? What do you have to send in? If that's a lot of work, and this is just getting ridiculous. It's convincing the small business person not to be, just
right.
And the small businesses are who support this entire United States of America. It's not big business that supports it. It's small business that supports it. There's more people hired by small businesses than anything else. So we can't just do this and impose these huge things on there.
Exactly. Speaking of imposing, I'd like to put out the phone number again, 646-721-9887. We did have a caller in the queue, but apparently hung up. We will get to the calls in a few minutes. If you're still listening, please feel free to call us back, and we'll put you on the air in just a few minutes. But I did want to, because of the magnitude of what's happening in Arizona, kind of switch gears and get into that, and especially
this immigration thing that we've got going is a problem in the United States, but it's not just the United States. It's a problem everywhere. And I was just looking at Great Britain. I mean, they're having their elections. Great Britain is having their elections on the 6th of May. And they're having a real problem with that as well. Great Britain, you know, has 900,000 immigrants, undocumented or illegal immigrants, and they were having their debates in the last couple of days, and the point was brought up. You know, you don't know, you can't just get rid of them all. You can't deport them all. First of all, in Great Britain, you know, you think we've got problems. We've got them all coming from basically one country. Great Britain's got them coming from like 30 countries, and you don't even know where they're from. How do you deport someone when you don't know where to deport them to?
That's true. Anyway, I'd like to welcome our caller, area code 541. Welcome to the show. What's your name, please?
Is this me?
Terry Longbottom?
Oh, okay.
Hi.
Okay. Yeah, you know, as a truck driver and whatnot, you know, I drive up and down I-5 and I see that, you know, there's a lot of people of Eastern Indian descent. You know, we're talking about illegal immigration. You know, it's quite concerning to me to see that, you know, now I'm at a loss for words, the fact that, you know, what can they put on the back of one of those trucks, you know? You know, that's concerning. And, you know, we've got...
Do we have a problem with East Indian immigrants?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that... you really can't really tell the difference between, you know, a Muslim, you know. So that's where I'm at is the fact.
It's putting a lot of responsibility on a poor police officer to try to figure out who's what. I agree. And you're right. You can't tell. I still feel that if we want to solve most of this problem, what we've got to do is enforce the laws that we have. But running around and trying to find them on the highways, I don't think is the answer.
No, and I agree with you. You know, they talk about racial profiling and whatnot. You know, it's kind of a way of the world. I mean, you know, I'm not a spring chicken anymore, and I have a tendency to stereotype people by their appearance and whatnot. And, you know, I'm not, you know, a redneck by any stretch of the imagination. You know, I am open-minded, but, you know, 9/11, you know, should have been a wake-up call for all of us. And evidently it's not with the Obama administration. He wants to, in what I've heard through a lot of channels, is the illegals, give them amnesty, let them be citizens. And I think it's more for their vote opposed to what is right for America.
Okay, we were just talking about Great Britain. How do you kick them all out? It's a little easier for us than it is for them. But I don't believe we need to kick them all out. But I don't believe in making them citizens. That's not the way it should be done. We do need to make a path so they can become citizens and become legally here to work or do whatever. But no, don't just give them amnesty. Don't just make them citizens. But one of the things we've got to do, and this is going to sound terrible, I'm sure, for everybody, but is this business of anybody who's born in America is an American citizen has got to stop. That has to end, because that's why they're coming here. They're I don't know if you notice it, but for example, there are states that are going bankrupt trying to pay for welfare or whatever they don't call it welfare anymore. I'm sorry, that's bad. But anyway, child protection services and to support illegal aliens, illegal immigrants, because they are children we're born in the United States, and so we have to support the whole family. And there are states going bankrupt. There are hospitals that are there are many, not just a couple, but many hospitals that have gone out of business because of the fact that they can't afford to support and take care of the illegal aliens. Los Angeles. Here's a figure for you. Are you ready for this? In Los Angeles County alone, last June, just 1 month, paid out $48 million to the children of illegal aliens. That's just in June. That's a staggering amount just for one county in one state. $26 million for food stamps, $22 million for welfare checks. There's huge amounts of – there's 77 hospitals went bankrupt in California. No, 84 in California because of the growing crisis. I mean, this is running us broke. We're in terrible trouble. But if we were simply to administer the actual laws that are already here and make it a possibility for them to work, and, you know, in the process of giving them that possibility, they would, of course, have to pay taxes and pay their way. I mean, I don't think, especially if you're talking about the aliens from Mexico, they'd be very willing to pay their way, but we're not allowing them.
And I want to point out, too, it's not just illegals from Mexico. They're, especially like this bill in Arizona, it's illegals in general. In fact, as you were saying, if we had enforced the laws and been on top of the problem, maybe the Arizona farmer, Robert Krentz, would still be alive today. In fact, let me go ahead and play.
Well, before you do that, I want to make one little comment.
Okay.
I'm sorry about this farmer in Arizona, but we should not be changing the laws of the entire country for 1/500,000,000th of its population. All right?
You're referring to
I totally disagree with that. You know, laws are laws. They're set forth to, you know, protect the country and whatnot. The law says that if you do not enter this country legally, then you should be deported. You know, I saw something on the internet. Whereas a lady, she was an administrator of a hospital somewhere in Florida, that there was a patient there. He was an illegal from Mexico. I believe the hospital bill was over $3 million because he was there for over a year. Then once he got well enough, they sent him back to Mexico at a cost of an additional $30,000. That is drawing up our health care. This gentleman from Arizona lost his life. I mean, you cannot put a price tag on the man's life. One man's life, he's a U.S. citizen, and he had the right to be protected under the Constitution and the laws of the United States of America. And the United States of America and its laws failed to protect this man.
And that's why Arizona is standing
right,
up. And
you just said, this is exactly what I'm saying. We need to literally, with the laws that are already on the books, handle this, not make new laws every time something goes on. There are laws there. We just choose to ignore them for some reason or other.
Well, let's quit ignoring
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Governor of Arizona is trying to do with this law, and I do have I got two clips I want to play here real quick because it kind of goes along with what we're saying, is because the federal government has failed to enforce the law, it basically the problem is getting out of hand, and so people are upset and are tired of being powerless. Because currently, like especially in Oregon here, police officers cannot ask somebody their immigration status. And so that kind of ties their hands. What this law does in Arizona, it allows the police officers to verify somebody's immigration status. Now, I do agree as far as the racial profiling part goes, but the governor also points out that there will not be random stops based on your race only. It will be stops for legitimate reasons, like a burned out tail or other issues. But let me go ahead and play clip six here, which is the governor signing the bill.
Can I make a quick point? You know, one other problem we have with this is, you know, we could eliminate the racial profiling to a degree, I'm sure. If somebody gets pulled over for a violation, I feel that, you know, there should be something on their driver's license that indicates that they are legal here. And that is not happening because the voter motor registration here law where an illegal can acquire a driver's license and he gets the right to vote. We've got
absolutely.
You know, there's got to be things done and put in place. I don't, you know, a lot of these laws that this other gentleman is that I've been kind of arguing with, and I apologize for, you know, that is a lot of these laws were put in pre 9/11. We've got to start thinking post 9/11.
The first thing we've got to do is 9/11 and start just enforcing the laws, period. We don't need to decide what to do just because there was a disaster. We didn't put laws in effect after Oklahoma, and that was almost as bad as 9/11. So I'm sorry, we need to quit using that as a stepping stone and as something to fall back on. It was terrible, to be honest with you. It was, but there are a lot of things that are happening that right now, I saw a thing just the other day about because they were going to do a whole bunch of, there were three people who were going to do something in as a, I don't want to say tribute, but to the Oklahoma bombing. And because of the fact that the federal government caught them and saw that it was going to happen and made known that it was going to happen, it actually stopped. They didn't do it. And we are working on that, and that's the one thing that happened after 9/11 is we do have a better, I think, system of finding things that are going on. But we can't just live our life around 9/11. There were laws in effect before.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, sir. I apologize. You know, there was also you know, free running horses and buggies and whatnot in the old West, and then we developed the car, and they had to put laws in place to protect the public with traffic laws. So you know, we can't forget about 9/11. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, we didn't have a threat. Well, we had threats, but not of this magnitude. We didn't have these fundamentalist, psychobabble Muslims running around wanting to destroy and kill U.S. citizens or other people that didn't believe along the same lines as them. So I say, pardon the pun, hockey puck. I say that we need to put laws in to protect the United States of America. You know, the way it sounds to me is, oh, sure, let's just keep on letting them flow in like, you know, a flowing river. No, we got to do something about it and do it now before it's too late.
And that's what the governor of Arizona is starting to do. In fact, let me play clip two here real quick. Because just let me set it up just real quick here, is that because we've ignored pretty much the security of our borders and not to mention the security risks that it does by having open borders, it creates a new little problem here. And New Mexico, for example, is a little bit worried about the Arizona law. And here's a clip from the governor for that one.
I think New Mexico should be braced.
State Senator Sue Wilson Beffert says New Mexico's illegal immigration issue is already a drain on the state's budget, and she worries it's about to get worse.
The greatest fear is going to be that people flooding into our state, which could really cause more pressure on our financial situation.
So the governor is worried that, like what some people said, like, for example, Lars Larson, if you take the initiative, the financial initiative, out of the immigration, in other words, what attracts them, that they'll self-deport. Or in this case, what the New Mexico is worried about, that they're going to self-deport from Arizona into other states.
Good. Then maybe they'll pass a law from there, too. Okay, what is this, if you take the financial initiative out of it, what does that mean? What does he think that means?
Well, what he's saying, like Lars Larson's proposal, is if you don't match your name to a Social Security number, you can't use the taxes that you pay on that employee, you can't deduct them. And so if you can't deduct... if you can't deduct the taxes that you're paying for that employee, it's going to cost the employer more, and therefore they're not going to hire as many illegal aliens because it takes out the financial incentive. And if the jobs aren't there, they're not going to come over here.
Oh, yes, they are. Yes, they are, because that's not what's bringing you over here. It's free health care. It's free hospitals. It's free welfare. It has nothing to do with what they're working on. The ones that are working are actually being responsible citizens and paying for themselves. But there's millions and millions of them that are not working. They're just here. And they come over here to have their kids so that their kids can be conceived in a decent hospital and have decent health care and such. And it's all free. It's absolutely free. We've got to stop doing that. We've got to stop giving welfare to people who aren't even in a member of our society. We've got to make some sort of a concession to the fact that we can't save the world, or if we're going to do that, let's just build hospitals in Mexico and pay for them and take care of them over there. Let's just send the money to Mexico and let them live there instead of at least living here.
In 28 minutes remaining, 646-721-9887, let me get clip three out of the way. This is the President Obama stating his opinion on it, and then we'll get back to it.
Well, indeed, our failure to act responsibly at the federal level will only open the door to irresponsibility by others. And that includes, for example, the recent efforts in Arizona, which threatened to undermine basic notions of fairness that we cherish as Americans, as well as the trust between police and their communities that is so crucial to keeping us safe. In fact, I've instructed members of my administration to closely monitor the situation and examine the civil rights and other implications of this legislation. But if we continue to fail to act at a federal level, we will continue to see misguided efforts opening up around the country.
I am so tired of Obama opening his big fat mouth and saying nothing.
Well, yeah, I agree with you there, is the fact that, he's thinking like an attorney, not commander-in-chief and the basic protector of the people of the United States of America.
Well, if you listen to what he just, listen to that cut, he didn't say anything. He just said a whole bunch of words. He didn't say anything. And that's getting tiresome.
And the reason why we got a problem that we have is because they do ignore the laws. They don't enforce them. And so the numbers have grown into astronomical proportions and created even a new problem, which is it's a new generation of children that are the children of illegal immigrants that were brought here at a very young age. This is the only country that they know. Like one person that was interviewed, they're scared to death that their parents are going to be deported under this new law. Well, if they would have come into the country legally, they wouldn't be worried about being deported.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you, hostess, like the gentleman said, Rush Limbaugh's words is, Barack Obama speaks psychobabble.
Oh, that's good.
I like that.
That's exactly what's happening, and unfortunately, it's not going to help us at all. We've been getting too much psychobabble, and what it's doing is getting us into trouble. We're going to have him rushing into some sort of a big giant bill about immigration that's poorly thought out, just like the health bill was, and they're going to rush it right through because if they don't do it now, they're not going to be able to. Well, I'm tired of this not being able to because it's not up to par. And so, you know, let's think about this. But again, let's try enforcing some of the laws that are already here.
Well, yeah, because where does it stop? I mean, for example, there's a city, I think it's Ashland, that starting next year, they're going to require all their students, starting from the first grade, to learn Spanish.
Well,
I hate to cut this call short, but I've got to go do some things, okay? But I just thought I'd give you some input, and I enjoyed the program.
You're not allowed to go out and make a living. You've got to stay here and talk to us.
Yeah, our host knows that I go out and make a living, I think.
Yeah, Terry, go ahead.
Okay, Robin. I won't refer to you as hostess anymore, then. I'll just call you Robin. Yeah, I've got a couple of things I got to do. And, you know, I'm not going to go out and make a living because Obama will not allow that. So thank you very much for the time. Okay.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on the show, Terry, and, you know, hope that you'll come back again, you know. And
oh, I will.
Don't be afraid to say anything, you know. You're not going to offend either one of us.
Oh, no. Well, you're forced to argue.
Because the problem is, Robin knows where I work, so I better not offend her. Okay, I'll talk to you guys later, okay? Bye.
All right.
Hey. Anyway, I don't. It's just because of the fact that we're just opening our doors to everyone and everything. It's costing us way too much, and we can't afford to do that. There are two things that we need to change. One is this business of thinking that we can go to every country in the world and run what they're doing, and if they don't do what we want them to, we'll just have a little war. That's costing an awful lot of money. It looks like it's becoming very obvious that we didn't do the job even yet in Iraq. There's still problems going on, and we're going to be stuck there. And there's no way we're getting out of Afghanistan as quickly as we thought we were going to, because we're just escalating and escalating and escalating. We need to pull the hell out of there. And that and take that money and put it here and start enforcing our laws.
Well, I agree. And again, let me give out that number. We have a line open. Actually, we have lots of lines open. 616-721-9887. And again, appreciate Terry calling in. He lived to tell about it, so it doesn't hurt to call. If you've never called the show, give us a call. The chat room is open. You can leave comments there. Send us an email. We can even read your email over the air if you'd like. talk@krbnradio.com. One of the things that the people are misconstruing,
yelling at me. You can argue with me all you want, because that's what I live for. It isn't going to bother me a bit. Let's argue a little bit about something.
Yes, Cliff is a pro. He's been in radio so long that he can.
Well, that's true too.
One of the things that I've already seen with this new Arizona law is the big word. Anyways, the fact that people are thinking that the racial profiling, that, oh, look, there's somebody with brown skin over there, they're going to be stopped on the street for no reason at all and asked for their green card, their identification, or what people are afraid of, their papers. The governor of Arizona made it very clear in the news interviews yesterday on the radio that is not the case, that they will only – their officers are going to be trained, and they will only be questioned if they are stopped for legitimate concerns, like if you ran a traffic light or some other violation. They're not going to go out and on a manhunt, so to speak, looking for people that are here illegally. They're just going to give the officers the right to check the immigration status.
Okay, first of all, this business of the law, I don't quite understand that. I have driven through Arizona several times, and I have been stopped by the officers and carded, so to speak. In other words, check your driver's license. And I know good and well that's exactly what I was being stopped for. As much as if you know me, I don't look very Mexican. But of course, on the same token, there are a lot of Mexicans who don't.
That's true.
So, you know, there's I see nothing wrong with stopping and carding people and checking it out. Now, if you start getting really carried away and taking a lot of time and spending a lot of, you know, because there are a couple of times that if I had been detained very long, I would have started getting upset because I needed to get someplace. But, you know, if you know it's a possibility, and that's what this law is doing, is warning everyone that this could happen, then maybe you just make sure that you're getting started a little early, so if something happens, you've got the time to handle it. But I'd rather be inconvenienced a little than having this huge drain on our economy and the huge drain on our society. I mean, it's not just the economy, like you say. This farmer that was killed, I'm sorry about that. I don't like to keep coming back to that, but there are a lot of atrocities that are going on other than just him, and we need to stop all of them because there's, you know, and it's on both sides. We've got some Americans that are just doing all horrible things to anybody that they find that is an illegal immigrant. There are lots of atrocities being perpetrated on them. I'm sorry for the words, but we've got to start just enforcing the laws that are here. And then the other thing we've got to do, though, is this business of supplying benefits to just everybody that walks in the door. There's got to be some limitation there. We need to be giving our benefits to our citizens, not to everybody else's citizens.
I agree. And again, I'm getting back to what Arizona, what they're trying to do. It's because the federal government is tying the state's hands and they're not enforcing the law that it's created a bigger problem, and the problem is continuing to grow. Because the influx, the millions or the thousands that come over the border daily, to the point that we're over 12 million illegals estimated in the country, where does it stop, and how far are we going to let it go? Like I was saying earlier, already one of the victims, or some of the victims, not just the fact of is changing our society and forcing us to learn a foreign language, which I got no problem learning a foreign language of my choice, but to have to learn a foreign language to get a job in my own country, they're forcing our children to learn a particular foreign language simply due to the enormous numbers of people who don't even belong here. That's where I start having a problem. But what I was going to say is that what the children, of course, are the ones that are suffering, especially the new generations are brought here at a very young age. Some don't even know that they're illegal. And then when they go to college, or they have to prove their immigration status like you have to do in jobs now, you have to show a birth certificate or whatever, they can't do it. And so now they're forced into a situation and risk being deported to a country which they've never known. And it's created a Pandora's box, and it's partially our fault as a nation by not enforcing the laws. In fact, real briefly here, one of my proposals that I've put out on my blog and other places of what to do about this, because they're saying deport everybody. Well, that's not practical. We've gotten to that point.
That's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, you know, unless you can convince them to self-deport, which, like you said, they'll just move to another state. They're not going to leave. But here's my suggestion, and it's real short, real easy. It's children who are brought here at an early age and who have been here for 7 years would be granted amnesty. The children's immediate family, mother, father, brother, sister, would also be granted amnesty, provided that they follow the INS requirements, which include learning English. All others will have 1 year to leave the country and will be allowed to apply through proper channels to reenter the country.
After, what does amnesty mean in your opinion?
Well, let me finish what I got here. After 1 year, reentering or remaining in the United States illegally changes from a misdemeanor to a felony, which includes imprisonment. version of it is rewarding somebody for breaking the law. Basically, we wipe the slate clean, welcome to the country.
Okay, but wait a minute. Then they're still here, I mean, illegally. I mean, if you wipe the slate clean, you just start from the beginning. I mean, you haven't accomplished anything. What does amnesty mean? It doesn't mean you become a citizen. In my opinion, we need to decide what amnesty means and then use it. I believe we should decide that amnesty means that you are given a special card or a special endorsement on a driver's license or whatever. And I do believe that if you are not an American citizen, you should have a special driver's license. You should not have a regular driver's license.
Agreed.
Just because you have a driver's license does not mean you should be able to vote.
Right.
The idea of having amnesty is fine, and I to me, we should just open the borders. We should just literally open the borders, but if they don't have this special card or whatever it is, then they're not allowed to work. They're not allowed to go to the hospital. None of these things are offered to them, and so the ones that are willing to work and are willing to go along with the laws are welcome to stay here. We're not going to be inundated by them because it's no longer going to be anything special for them. We're not going to be giving them something for nothing.
Well, I'll disagree with you about opening the borders. It's like, well, take your house, for instance. You lock your door at night to keep people that are unauthorized out of your house, especially people that want to do harm to you or your family or, you know, steal your stuff. You wouldn't want to leave your doors unlocked at night just so anybody at their whim can come into your house. Well, what's the difference between that and the borders of our country?
Okay, that's not an acceptable analogy. The analogy would be I don't put a fence around my yard to keep everybody out. I don't let them into my house, just as you'd be quite quite allowable for you not to open your house or to open your business or to do things like that for people to just come and go as they want. You should be allowed to decide who comes into your business, and you should be allowed to decide who comes into your industry. But I don't put up huge fences and post guards to keep people out of my yard or off my street. And so that's the analogy we should make. We need to open up the borders. And anybody can come into the country. What they do here, however, after they are here, should be controlled and could be controlled with the laws that we have.
Well, that's the point. Anybody can come into the country, but come through the front door. We have a system, although
nope.
Right now it's backlogged
nope.
And it's not perfect, but we have a system to let people come in here.
It's totally broken. If we go by that, then we're already full and nobody can come in.
Well, okay, I agree it's not a perfect system, but going around the system just because you don't like it is not an excuse. It's not an excuse for us to turn our backs on the fact that you broke the law, you came over here, you're living here, you're taking the jobs, you know, whether it's jobs we want to do or not, still jobs, and we've turned our backs to it. We've taken the businesses that have taken advantage to people that are here illegally so they can pay lower wages and whatnot. There's no excuse for that.
Well, I'll agree with that. There should be, you know, that's why we need to have some sort of identification even for the undocumented, so to speak, immigrants, because we've got to have some sort of documentation to know what's going on. We want to know how many people are in this country. We're worried about our census going on right now. We've totally ignored the fact the illegal immigrants, of course, are not going to be answering the census. They're not going to be filling it out because then we know where they are, and they're not happy to know where they are. So we've got to give them an opportunity. And the fact that if they no longer had all of the benefits, if the benefits weren't here that they couldn't get in their own country, then they would stay in their own country. There's no reason for them to come here if there's no incentive. So if the incentive is to work, then we need to allow them to work, but we need to control what's going on to the extent that they're allowed to work, but they've got to pay for our, I guess it would be Social Security, whatever that's called. But you've got to pay the taxes so that if we're going to spend the money on you. You've got to put it in there just like we do. But
well, and I see your point, but yeah, I mean, they're already talking about having a national ID card using a biometric system, which supposedly can't be counterfeited. But that's not going to fix anything because we have a system in place already called the I-9. It's the INS form where you're supposed to prove that you have the right to work in the United States. And like with any system, it only works if you use it. Right now, yes, it is very easy to just give a social security number and say, my name is blah, blah, and that's all the further it goes because it's not verified. That's why, like I said earlier, some counties are requiring to use the e-verify system so you can match the name to the social. But any system you come up with, unless you have a way to enforce it and use it, is not going to work.
I'll go along with that. We may have to make a couple of radical changes, but basically the laws are all there. The way around this toll problem is there, and trying to build a fence across Mexico is not going to be the answer. And whether it be a physical fence or however you want to look at it, it's just simply not going to be the answer to what can be done. And so we're going to have to just try enforcing the laws we've got, I guess.
Well, I agree. And again, the last 8 minutes of the show, 646-721-9887. The other message that it sends to is the message to our kids, for example, about respecting the law. Kind of on a side note, there's a new movie out called Kick-Ass, and there's a 12-year-old girl that plays one of the heroes in that, and she's a karate expert or whatever, and they're critics are concerned about what type of message is that sending to our children about violence. Well, how about the message that by turning our backs on immigration, illegal immigration, and letting massive amount of people violate the sanctity of our borders and get away basically with not following a law because there's a large number of people that decide they don't want to, so now it becomes okay. Why should we follow any other type of law? I was thinking about this the other day, like Terry, I'm also a truck driver. To become a truck driver, you have to go get a commercial driver's license. We both have Class A, so that means that, you know, we had to go take a test and test drive, and both of us paid $5,000 to go to a school to get all that just so we can drive those big rigs going down the road. Well, what if a massive number of us just decided, you know what, I'll work for you for $3 less an hour or 5 cents less a mile if you hire me, and I don't have a commercial driver's license, and millions of people do the same thing. And just because we don't want to do it. But there's a large number of people to go along with that. We're just not going to go along with this law.
Because when it comes to American citizens, they enforce the law.
Right. Exactly.
Well, the thing we've got to do is that it's a little tiresome to keep having our federal government ignore the laws. And I think one of the things that's going to start happening is I believe in the next election we're going to see quite a few people replaced, and in the election after that, unless some real radical changes take place, there's going to be an awful lot of people that are going to be changed in our federal government, and it's about time. But it's just, you know, one of the things we've got to concern ourselves with is what I was talking about before. We all sit here, and there's something about the laws that we don't like, but everybody has different things that they don't like. And so everybody can be mad. One person is happy because something is being done, but everybody else is unhappy. But for the next idea, a different person can be happy and all the rest of them are unhappy. So we've got to be a little bit careful about who we start kicking out and who we start booting and changing in the federal government, because they have to listen to all of us. We only listen to a few of our friends who agree with us. And so we've got to start looking at the big picture. Our federal government has to look at the big picture, but there's an awful lot of places where they aren't taking America's view into consideration over the rest of the world. But then you got to realize how it's a global economy. It's a global society now. It's not just us against the world. Look at the volcano. I mean, that has disrupted traffic and has disrupted people in the United States to the nth degree, and nothing happened here. It was all in Europe.
Right. Well, last 4 minutes of the show, I want to bring up one final issue here. And one of the things is that they're asking, you know, how can the states go ahead and do something like this? Well, for one thing, whether or not this law in Arizona survives the legal challenge, it at least brings the issue back to the forefront, like New Mexico, who is now concerned that, you know, they're going to get a huge flood of illegals now, and now it becomes their problem. And then if they pass something, it becomes somebody else's problem. But what Obama said that he was going to do was monitor the situation closely and probably challenge it in court. Well, one thing that was pointed out on one of the blogs, and I have a quick little clippy here, regarding is the Bill of Rights 10th Amendment, and here's what that says.
The 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights, known as the Powers of the State and the People, or States' Rights Amendment, which was ratified December 15, 1791, states, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively, or to the people.
So basically what that says is that what the federal government refuses to do, the states can have the right under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to pick up the pieces.
Well, I'm all for that. I'm all for that.
And if this bill does nothing else, it, like I say, it brings it back to the forefront and makes people really take a serious look at how big the problem is and maybe decide to do something about it. I mean, we're either going to fix the problem or we're just going over.
We need to set a precedence and have Arizona sue the federal government for what it's costing them in doing this sort of thing. What the illegal immigrants are costing Arizona significantly more money than they're costing most of the other states. And since the federal government now thinks they want to control what's going on, then Arizona should be allowed to sue them for the money that they're losing in the process. And maybe that'll make somebody wake up. If we had all of the border states down there sue the federal government, maybe something would happen.
That's true. Bring it up into the court. But Obama's comprehensive immigration bill, which I think is next on the list after the economic bill that he's working on, I'm not sure of his – I haven't read the proposal yet. I've heard the sound bites coming from his office. One of the things that he does want to do is make him pay a fine, learn English, go back to the end of the line and apply, which I could kind of live with that. But
well, the problem is they're not going to pay the fine. I mean, if you're here illegally, why would I want to pay a fine? I mean, you know, what you haven't arrested me yet. Why would you now?
Exactly. There's no teeth in it. Like I was saying earlier, if you can pass any law you want to, but if you're not going to enforce it, what good is it?
Well, I'll tell you what it does. It costs us as taxpayers huge amounts of money, and it's getting a little old. I'm tired of it myself, anyway. I mean, I can go on and on. I mentioned to you about all the amount of money that different states and different counties are spending on illegal aliens. I mean, it's huge, huge amounts of money, and it's going to bankrupt us.
Well, in addition to bankruptcy, the way it's going, we're all going to be speaking Spanish at one point just because Spanish is becoming the language of the nation very slowly. And to be forced to get a job, that's what you're going to have to do. But anyways,
we're out of time.
That's our show for today. Again, thank you to our caller. And if you have a suggestion or a comment, again, send us an email, talk@krbnradio.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.